Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the Haunted Attraction Haunted Entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. Coming at you once again from the bowels of quarantine.
Yes.
As we sit in the first room of our haunted house, those seeing on live chat will note I have a giant garage door behind me.
Yeah, I'm going to see about fixing that next week.
But yes, we have come to you as always, well, as always these days from the bowels of quarantine, to bring to you another episode of haunt-related content for your enjoyment. And this week is one that actually was suggested by a listener.
Yes.
Ryan McGregor suggested we do overused haunt tropes. Mm-hmm. Now, I looked it up. We actually did a similar episode. We'll talk more about it in a minute. But it turns out it was pretty easy to draft a second one without overlapping anything.
Yes. I actually did go back and look at the notes from that previous episode mm-hmm. to make sure that I wasn't adding anything.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we weren't accidentally overlapping. Yeah. But anyways, definitely, if you do not know us, find us at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, and every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time, that's 9 p.m. Eastern, and the rest of y'all can figure it out on your own, we do live recordings. On Facebook Live, come join us, come see us, come be with us, come join us, if you will. You can also find us at youtube.com/hauntweekly. I can't get that live stream working to save my life. And you also find us at iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. All right. Real fast. I say we skip the COVID resources this week. We got to add that page to the site. I've been meaning to.
Okay, I am going to mention, though, that
we do have a few call-outs, yes.
Yes, that I just wanted, if you have not heard of Haunted Honeymooners, that's all one word on Facebook. They've been doing some great interviews lately and live chats. Go check them out.
They have been producing a lot of wonderful content for all of us bored peoples. Yes. Also, quick shout-out to Derek Muehlberger, our guest from last week, one of our guests. We're not wearing our Haunt Weekly shirts, but we are wearing these fashionable buttons. That he made for us as a gift. It's very wonderful, very sweet. He actually made two varieties. We're wearing the one that doesn't explain what we are.
Yes. Because next week we'll wear the other one.
Maybe not, yeah.
And then you can vote because we'll see about whether or not we can order some from him.
Yeah.
A small amount.
Don't get your hopes up. This isn't the beginning of a merch shop. No. Derek would fucking kill us.
Yes.
I can already hear him somewhere. And I'm going, oh, those assholes.
Yes. Well, we do really like the buttons.
The buttons are amazing, and thank you very much for that, Derek. That is awesome. Two really important shout-outs to do right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to do something a little bit new, since we're doing this with a live format these days. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do is start with a question for the audience, for you guys in chat. And the idea is...
Surprise! Quiz!
Surprise! It's a pop quiz, man. You thought school's out for summer. You were wrong. the thing is, we're going to ask a question and then come back to it at the end of the episode with some of your chats and some of your input on that.
Right.
So, this week's question is simply, what's one common Halloween/haunting thing that you've never done?
Yes.
That you've never done. It's... amazingly common. You would think everyone's done it, but you have not done it. And I'll take first here to give an example.
Well, I'm going to take first because yours is so mind-blowing. Like, I could not believe this. You're going second, okay? I'm just telling you. I've never been to a haunted house by myself. As a kid, there was an opportunity. And as an adult, I've always gone with him.
Yeah, and it was funny because you said that, and I think, well, when have I been to one by myself? But no, I had. I actually went to, like you mentioned, a haunt in Myrtle Beach.
Right.
On the boardwalk, I went there. It turned out to be Leonard Pickle haunt.
Exactly.
Learned that many, 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 many years later. But
yeah.
Just interesting that it turned out that my first or second haunt experience was a Leonard Pickle haunt by myself. Interesting.
Yes. And Dead Rising was the first haunt that I was in a separate group than you. But they didn't get me in before you came out, so I knew I would come out fine.
Now, sure, they separated us there. They were playing the hokey pokey with everybody.
They were. It was fun.
That's a pretty good idea. I don't know how it works with the flow, but it was pretty cool. Okay, mine, that Crystal says, is so goddamn mind-blowing, I have to go second, is I have never carved a pumpkin.
Yes. One of the suggestions that we got to talk about was pumpkin carving. I haven't done it since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he's never even drawn a face on a pumpkin. How can you not have drawn a jack-o'-lantern face?
I don't know. We had jack-o'-lanterns. My mom always... I mean, granted, okay... I'm pretty sure if they had pumpkin carving kits in the 80s when I was a kid,
right. They
would have been more dangerous than actual knives. Because 80s were like Australia where everything was just trying to kill you. So I'm pretty sure there would have been a way for the pumpkin carving kit to be way more dangerous than just like a butcher knife. I helped scoop out the guts. I helped do that type of stuff. But no, I never did the drawing or the carving to my recollection.
Right.
I'm sure maybe my mom is sitting up going, oh, he carved a pumpkin. He's being a lying asshole over there. I can practically see her. And if it's true, Mom, I'm sorry. I genuinely don't remember it.
But at the very least, it wasn't a tradition for you to be able to at least draw the face on every year.
That was not a recurring thing, definitely. So, yeah, I never drew a pack of jack-o'-lantern outside of, like,
paper.
Other paper, yeah.
Yeah.
And I never carved one.
Yeah.
So, and honestly...
So that will get fixed this fall.
Oh, good God. Let's get Jonathan knives and fruit. So great. Anyway.
Maybe we'll even do it on camera.
Maybe. And watch.
Maybe people will join us for your first pumpkin carving ever.
And we'll make the derpiest jack-o'-lantern to ever derp.
That's the point. Well, okay, so that's the point for your first one. There are people who take a lot of pride in their pumpkin carving abilities and are true artists.
Yeah, there are people that, like, do the shading and all that.
Yeah, and if you've seen Halloween Wars, I've watched some of them with Ellie, and those guys are amazing at what they can do with pumpkins. So, you know.
You make me sick. Talented people make me sick.
Yes, because you're so untalented.
I know. I'm horribly untalented. We know this. Okay.
All right.
I completely lost the plot. So,
well,
yes.
Yeah, you put out a question, and then it became an episode.
But, yeah, seriously, what... common Halloween/haunting thing have you never done? Discuss in the comments. We're coming back to it at the end of the episode. So bear that in mind. It's a good reason to stick around. All right. Now, way, 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 way back in episode 102, so it's 129 episodes ago now, more than half the show's history ago, we did an episode called Halt Industry Crutches. And it's a very similar thing in that we were talking about things that haunts do that basically, you know, they lean on when there's a lack of creativity. They're things that aren't necessarily bad.
Right.
But they get misused. Mm-hmm. They get overused and misused. They become crutches, was the whole idea. So it's a very similar topic. That said, I think the trope thing comes more from my perspective as a customer than it does as a haunter on this. Mm-hmm. These are the things, because we do between 12 and 20 haunted attractions every season.
Right.
Sometimes we'll hit 12 in one trip. I mean,
we will, yes.
So we hit a lot of haunts, and when you see that many haunts, you begin to see things over and over and over and over again. And some of them kind of annoy you. So that's what we're talking about this week. So it's a similar topic, but not exactly the same. However, we are not going to repeat anything that was on that list. So episode 102, if you haven't listened to it, go back, it's still all new content,
right. Even
after this. That said, if we were going to put something on both lists, it would be chainsaws.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, they are effective, I have no doubt. They do get people running, they clear out the exit. I get all that, that's true, but my God, they are everywhere. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, if you don't hear a chainsaw, have you gone to a haunted attraction?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very annoying. Maybe not annoying, but it's very, very overused. And honestly, it's potentially very dangerous.
Yes.
It's one of the things we don't think about. Like, the last person who died at a haunt died because he was chased by the chainsaw guy out into the road.
Well, the chainsaw guy had stopped way early. but the guy was so scared, he continued.
Yeah, and then that's the thing, is you can't predict how, when people are going to stop running. As we constantly find year after year, people have surprising degrees of athleticism when scared.
Yes, exactly.
People that don't look like they would ever jog in their life suddenly become Usain Bolt when you hit them with a good scare.
Right.
So yeah, they have a, like I said, they're effective. I have no doubt about that. But they are everywhere and they're always used in the same way. Like Evil Intentions, I think, was the one haunt I can really recall that used them differently.
Right. Yeah, they used them differently, and 13th Gate uses it differently.
Yes.
They put it not at the end also.
Yeah, so...
But especially the ones at the end, that's like, okay, now I just know that it's over. You know, I'm always pleasantly surprised when there's more after the chainsaws.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Maybe that's part of my problem. I hear the chainsaw, I'm like, oh, it's over.
I know, right?
Oh, I don't want to go yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I want more hunt, you know? So it's weird. People, everyone's like, oh, chainsaw run. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So soon?
Yeah, and Ellie in the comments mentioned that every haunt has a no running policy, but then they have chainsaw chase you.
Yeah,
so,
and there's that too.
There's that.
There is that. Anyway, let's move on to our trope list for 2020. And the thing about this list is a lot of these things mm-hmm. are actually things I like,
right?
At least to some degree. But it's just, dear God, it's like basically I was thinking if we had the haunt, like those images you see on the internet, the haunt starter kit.
Yeah.
The things I would put in that picture is what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
For the most part,
that makes sense.
All right. First off, clowns.
Yep.
Just, and Ryan, this was the one cough suggestion he made when he proposed the topic.
Yeah.
And I agree 125%. That said, I mean, there are some very, very good creepy clowns out there. There's
right.
some very good clown characters out there.
Mm-hmm.
But every haunt, it seems like, has clowns, whether they need to, whether they should, whether they have anything that warrants them or not.
Right. And, you know, with the popularity of the recent It movies.
Oh, God.
Resurgence of that. We all know how popular that prop has been and how overused it's been. So, yeah. And sometimes they will put that in places where there's nothing else clown around it. It's just, it doesn't make sense. So,
or nothing remotely related to It or anything like
yeah.
that. It's just stuck in a cornfield or some shit. It's
like, I think it would be kind of cool, maybe. So if you were going to have an all-clown haunt.
Yeah. Well, which a lot of haunts do now. Their second attraction, especially the 3D attractions, are all-clown.
Right. Which, you know, is okay. But I think it would be kind of cool to go to take a trip through history. Because some of the old clowns are really creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand why people are doing the modern clowns. Those old-timey clowns
yeah.
are where the creep factor's at. She's right.
Yeah, so if you start with the modern ones and then go back in time to the old ones where it's, yeah, I think that
I'm pretty sure all those clowns were actual serial killers.
Well, at least one was.
No. But, you know, the thing about it is, like, to me, clowns are either a phobia you have or you don't have.
Right.
I literally grew up watching Bozo the Clown, WGN, the Superstation, every Saturday morning. And I practiced the grand prize game religiously, never realizing that that was filmed in Chicago and I had no hope of ever actually being on it.
Right.
But hey, when we wanted a game for the kids to play in the front, what did we turn to? The grand prize game as the model.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It did.
It worked very, very well. So yeah, I grew up a Bozo. I literally ate breakfast while watching clowns. I don't have a clown fear.
No.
And yeah, there's, like I said, there are some excellent creepy clowns. There's some great scary clown characters.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's like, the fear is, it's a clown.
Yeah.
That's a little bloody and a little off-putting. There's nothing added to it, nothing more done with it.
Right.
You have, there's so much more you can do. And basically, I just feel like a lot of haunts use it as a substitute for putting in real stories and real characters.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we have a 3D clown haunt. Okay, well, what's the story? Why am I here? What's going on? What am I afraid of? No, it's just 3D clowns.
Yeah, it's 3D clowns. And, you know, the haunts that advertise that they have clowns aren't going to get the people who are scared of clowns.
No.
I'm just saying.
No, you got to ambush them with the clowns. Like, one of the better uses of a clown I've seen is the one that hides in the glass maze at, or the mirror maze at 13th Gate.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually really cool because he'll do the thing where he pops out and you'll see him in the mirrors.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool. But once again, that could work with any character. It doesn't have to be a clown.
Right. Yeah.
It literally. And then you go to their Pennywise scene and there are 17 fucking Pennywises in three rooms. Literally, I counted.
Yeah.
And then Dwayne's like, wanted. There's not 17. Oh, maybe there are. Hang on.
Anyway,
but the point is, Pennywise is the worst culprit of this. Like you said, it got so overdone. Can we need to roll that back some, use them more sparingly, and use them when appropriate, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm against clowns and haunts. I'm against way too many goddamn clowns and haunts.
Mm-hmm.
The next item up for bid. Voodoo, satanic, or other evil religions.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm not saying these things can't be in there, but right. They have to be used well.
Yes.
And voodoo is especially problematic.
Yes, it is, because lots of people who don't understand it think it looks cool, and you know, but it's not scary. It's not meant to be scary.
But one thing that's weird is I've noticed that New Orleans haunts typically avoid voodoo themes.
I would disagree with you on that, because there's voodoo themes at both at two of the haunts that I can think of. Right.
Which
off
one?
Rise and 13th Gate.
They're not New Orleans.
Oh, sorry. I put them in New Orleans in my head because
they're Southern Louisiana, but neither of those are in New Orleans.
Okay.
I mean, Mortuary doesn't. New Orleans Nightmare doesn't, to my knowledge, my recollection.
Yeah.
And Scout Island doesn't. The three big New Orleans area haunts do not.
True.
And I think part of that is because here in New Orleans proper, we have much higher degree of familiarity. There's a lot of people who are voodoo practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Your cousin got married at a voodoo wedding.
Yes.
Not making that up.
Yes, and we actually talked more about voodoo in episode 85, the offensive haunting episode.
Yeah, and
way back.
Yeah, that's way, way, way back. But yeah, I mean, and then the idea is simple. You use these as a way to get cheap heat for your villains. It's like, well, you know they're scary because they're voodoo, or they're satanic, or they're whatever, and it's like, A, people actually have those religions.
Yes.
There are people of those actual religions.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe Satan is starting storming the gates about offensive satanic characters.
Right.
But, you know, voodoo especially can be problematic. A, because like I said, it's a religion that is actively practiced by maybe not a lot of people, may not be a major religion in this country especially, but it is practiced. But it also becomes a racial thing very quickly when you always stick your black actors in the voodoo roles, whether it's the Baron Samedi male voodoo character or the archetype of the like Marie Laveau style witch.
And stupid prop that I just don't like at all. there's one prop, and she just, no, I can't.
And the thing is, I understand the reason for this to a degree.
Right.
Because with a haunted attraction, you have to tell a story quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Say they're in your haunt 20 minutes and you've got 10 different scenes.
Yeah.
Just rough. This is rough here. That means you have 2 minutes to tell a story in each scene. You have to introduce a character, make it scary for them, and then hit them with the scares.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's a lot to do in a very short period of time. So haunts use shorthand. Understandably, we use shorthands, but a lot of times that shorthand becomes stereotyping, and sometimes it goes all the way to actually very offensive stereotyping.
Right.
And that's what we have to be careful of. There are ways to signal this is a scary person other than, oh, they're voodoo, therefore they're scary.
Mm-hmm.
You can like, I remember one of the things the 13th Gate does do very well is there's a trapper sequence in there. At least it was in years gone by.
Yes.
And you would walk in, and the first thing you would see are all these pelts of wet pelts of dead animals that were obviously killed by these people. That sets up me to know that whoever's on the other side of these pelts is not to be fucked with.
Right. They know how to kill and skin things.
They kill and skin things. I need to watch my ass around them.
Yeah.
that's one way to do it without using those types of stereotypes.
Right, and that's the way to just get it, the message across about what the scene is really quickly.
Yeah, and it's super fast, it's super effective, it takes like 3 feet of the haunt, maybe, this big, huge haunt, and you're through it in like 10 seconds, and then you are dealing with the characters
right
for the rest of that time you're in that scene. And so, yeah, we got to be careful. I would say that you can say similar things about hillbilly and other stereotypes that are used in haunts. We've got to be mindful of that. And part of the reason for that is, A, it can be offensive, but also it means your characters are exactly the same as every other character in every other haunt. This is the hillbilly. This is the voodoo priest. This is the devil-worshipping priest. This is, and on and on and on. You have the exact same characters without any expansion of it.
Right.
And that's, so yeah, it's a double whammy there, why that should be avoided. Okay, the next one, blackout anything. And yes. I also should include whiteout anything in this, because we saw that a lot in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But then, especially mazes with this. It's
right.
Especially mazes. We've spoken about mazes and haunts before.
Yes, I will look up the episode.
Thank you. I forgot to put it in the notes. Mm. And main thing is, we hate them.
Yeah.
Because the deal is this. Mazes can be a lot of fun. We've willingly gone into and done mazes.
Yes.
We went into a corn maze once, so we've done corn mazes. We've also done a maze attraction at a local laser tag facility. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun with them.
Oh, wow.
What?
That was episode 23.
Holy shit, we're going
to... That was amazing.
Oh, man.
Or
We are hearkening back, aren't we, today? Oh, my God. Word to your mother. Oh, man, I lost my plot there. Okay, we go to mazes willingly.
Yes.
But that's just it. We know we're going into a maze. We're putting our problem-solving caps on. Mm-hmm. We're mentally prepared for this experience. We go in and we do it.
Yeah.
And that can be a lot of fun. I rather enjoy solving mazes. Mazes are a good time. The problem is when you put a maze inside a haunt, that's mixing two very different attractions that ask very different things of your customers.
Mm-hmm.
One is asking them just, you know, keep going and... get scared, and hopefully you'll get scared on the way.
Right.
And the other is actually asking for an analytics. You're asking for people to think. You're asking for people to use their brains, when most people going into a haunt are deliberately shutting their brains off.
Yeah, and if they're really scared, they're not going to be paying attention to where they're going.
Yeah.
Or able to figure out which way to go, because their adrenaline's up, and they just want to get out.
Yeah, I remember the Boy Scout haunt we worked at, which had a maze sequence. And
yeah,
People would get stuck in there. I would hear about the people. We never worked it.
Right.
But we'd hear about people get stuck. Apparently one lady, I remember this conversation, got stuck on a dead-end run and would literally just walk back into the same dead end repeatedly because she was so disoriented and discombobulated. She couldn't figure out that she had to keep going one direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't a hard maze.
It wasn't a very
hard
maze.
All you had to do was keep turning.
Yeah, one direction.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was to the right every time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a very difficult maze, but people would get panicked. People would get scared, and people would do crazy, dumb things. One person apparently spent like 10, 15 minutes in that maze.
Right. Well, and that maze, they would also put Vaseline on the walls, so people didn't want to touch the walls.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're not a fan of mazes, but blackout elements in general... I'm not a fan of, because, I mean, okay, the purpose is they slow people down and extend time and also save on decorating, obviously. It's very easy to buy 20 gallons of black paint and paint all your walls flat black and then just not light it. It's easy. It's literally the minimum. But they don't add anything to the haunt. I mean, literally, it's a black wall.
Right. Yeah.
It adds nothing, and there's no reason why you couldn't decorate this sequence. I mean, even if it is a maze, you could theoretically decorate the maze.
You could. You can make it like hallways.
Yeah, you can make it look like actual hallways. And that actually would add, to me, I mean, once again, I'm not a fan of mazes, and I'm never going to be. You're not turning me around. No one's turning me around on this one.
No.
But I would prefer that, because at least you would feel the existential dread. It'd be like The Shining or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So if you put up, you know, the wallpaper and some of the... spooky, changey photo things.
Yeah.
Because then you would actually have a landmark. Have I been here or have I not? Instead of just black wall.
And then put
a lot
of the same paintings up.
Yeah. I mean.
Wait, didn't I pass this painting before?
Yeah. That's going to keep people there longer. That is true.
But, that would mess with some people pretty bad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But if you could, you know, do that, then you... Yeah, it would be more interesting.
It'd be much more interesting. But, I mean, fire marshals hate mazes for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's one of the reasons when you're speaking to your fire marshal, you never use the word maze. Use the word labyrinth. Yeah. It's a very different meaning.
Right.
Labyrinth is what a haunt actually is. It's one path all through the whole thing. A maze has dead ends. Fire marshals hate dead ends.
Yeah.
Because that's where people die.
Exactly.
So, best thing there is just avoid blackout mazes, definitely, but really, I don't see why any portion of the haunt should be blacked out. I might grant an exception if you're doing, like, the Leonard Pickle method, where you're using those short interstitial hallways, you know what I mean, between rooms, break line of sight. But why wouldn't you decorate the hallway?
Exactly. It doesn't even have to be black. You just put a different color on it. It's fine.
Yeah. Or paint it stripes. Paint it.
Yeah.
Just show some effort, man.
Yeah, exactly. I find black walls very lazy.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's very, very frustrating, and all of the goals of a blackout section can be done in other better ways. Like, one of the things is, oh, we're also messing with people's vision. No. Taking them from a dark area into a lighter area, it's going to mess with their vision. Okay, you could just have a darker area to haunt.
Right, and Bill Ritchie's pointing out, don't waste space with mazes, build cool rooms instead.
Exactly!
Because, I mean, you do have the space, obviously. You could just add in a new scene.
Yeah. Even if, you know, you're trading your maze in for just two rooms, we'll say. Because it might be a small maze, like the one the Boy Scout.
Yep.
But that probably would have only been worth two rooms if they had done that.
It would have been worth one, because it was really short. It was only, like, five turns.
And yet people got the fuck stuck out of there. I don't know. Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, if ever we become, like, gerbils for an alien race, we're going to do terrible as a species at the maze tests. That's what I've learned.
How do you know you're not in one right now?
Exactly. I don't know, man. But yeah, I don't know why these sections are everywhere. Even in very, very high-end haunts, they will do blackout sections.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. You've shown that you're not lazy. You've shown that you're very good decorators. Why did you leave this section totally untouched?
Right.
And it... All right. Next item up for bid.
You're like, I'm done with this one.
I'm done, no, because I could go all for a fucking hour on black.
We already have previously on just blackout mazes.
On mazes, but yeah, I mean, it's something that really aggravates me. And yeah. I've stopped when doing our, by the way, I've stopped whenever we do the timings of the walkthroughs, I've stopped counting the maze.
Oh, okay.
Because that doesn't count to the haunt walkthrough. A,
no.
Not a haunt. And B, that time is going to vary wildly.
Yeah. You can't really count it into how long a walkthrough of your haunt is.
No.
Because people are going to react differently. And so, it seems like we've got some support in the comments with this
one.
Hatred of mazes.
All right. Thank God. I feel crazy saying it. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I go to all these local haunts, and they're everywhere.
Yeah. But it's not as crazy as what's coming up next.
Yeah, this is me hitting on something I love.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you some of this stuff is stuff I love and is very dear to me. Heavy metal music.
Yes.
We love it.
We listen to it.
I get it, guys.
Yeah.
We all love our heavy metal music. Haunters and heavy metal go hand in hand.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that there's some exceptions out there.
I'm sure there's exceptions, but it's one of those things. They go hand in hand so perfectly. Yeah. Of course, they're heavy metal, but seriously, it gets overused. And it's to the point now where it's being used in scenes and in places where it's not appropriate, especially.
Right.
And also, I don't know about everyone else, but to me, one of the things about heavy metal music is I listen to it not in anticipation of getting scared. I listen to it to pump myself up. This is my WWE entrance music. This is, I'm going to go kick someone's ass music.
We're going to go exercise and do all the
things. We're going to go run 3 miles and lift weights and eat protein and do that stuff. It's not, I'm going to go get the piss scared out of me in a haunt.
No, it's not.
It amps me up. And maybe I'm alone. Maybe people are intimidated by heavy metal. But, oh man. But yeah, and you see it in scenes where it doesn't make sense. Like, I've seen it in haunts where they were doing, like, well, the hillbilly scene.
Yeah.
They're listening to, and well, yeah, I get it. People in that area listen to heavy metal.
Yes.
But.
Okay. My worst one of this was on our Chicago tour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say which one. It was just one of the most popular ones, and it's a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing Manson, and it's supposed to be set in like the 1600s, 1800s. Yeah. And that just didn't make any sense to me. It took me out of the moment. It took me out of, you know, this wonderful detail that they put into everything else.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem, because once again, the Haunt, you don't have a lot of time to tell a story.
Right.
You've got to get people immersed in the scene, get people familiar with the characters, and get them out.
Yeah.
You've got to do it fast. So shorthand is used. One of the cheapest and easiest shorthands is music.
Yeah.
And so if you use the right music, like, you know, imagine you go into, I don't know why I'm picking on hillbillies today.
Well, okay, so I will change your tune then.
Okay.
Literally.
But if you go there, you hear banjo music, is what I was saying.
Yes. But for a diner sequence.
Ah, yes.
For a 50s diner,
yeah.
You wouldn't hear modern metal being played.
You would hear probably at that point doo-wop music or
exactly.
Something like that, or old
or
school
Motown
rock, or Motown or old school rock and roll.
Yeah.
Maybe some Elvis even, like,
right.
You know. Yeah, you wouldn't hear Marilyn Manson blaring. And that's just it. If you're going to use heavy metal, maybe don't use Rob/White Zombie or Marilyn Manson. And those are, if I list my top 10 artists, they're both on there. I love them. I love their music.
Mm-hmm.
But I swear every Haunt has the same loop of Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson music.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same damn loop. I love this music so much. But, and the thing is, all it conveys to me is, I'm at a haunted attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it relays to me. I'm at a haunt. Which, okay, I guess that's important, but it doesn't set the scene or the mood you're trying to set a lot of the time.
Right.
Now, if you want to have it maybe blaring outside, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it gets the wrong energy out of me. It doesn't make me
right.
Nervous, like, or it makes me, I'm going to go kill things.
No, I like that in the actor area. And
yeah,
you
there you go.
Pump up your crew.
Yeah, that's where you play some Rob Zombie. You can play some White Zombie and some, that's where you play. That's a good point. Also, Rammstein gets overused a lot too.
Yeah, Ellie's already commented that an all Rammstein score for The Haunt, and she's doing the music this year.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, it just doesn't set the correct mood. And also, I love this band, but I've got to say the same thing for Midnight Syndicate. I understand why Midnight Syndicate is so heavily used. They license their music to Haunts for free. You can avoid your ASCAP, BMI, and all that.
Right.
Just for hanging up their poster.
Right.
And apparently we're in their directory.
Oh.
I found that out today when I was Googling it.
Cool.
But here's the thing. If you want to use Midnight Syndicate, they have a crap ton of CDs.
Yeah.
They probably have one related to your specific genre and what your scene setting, what you're setting up.
Right. And probably,
they have a circus one. They have an old-timey, like 1920s one. They have...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Buy per the period you're...
Buy the correct
to.
CD.
Yeah.
And they're all good.
Yeah.
They're all excellent, but and that's just it. You'll walk into a Haunt, and like I said, a diner sequence, they'll have creepy Midnight Syndicate music playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Like I said, I love Midnight Syndicate. I love their music, but that is not, it's not right for every scene, especially just like the regular vanilla Midnight Syndicate CDs, the one that like cover everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, seriously, pick at least the right CD for your attraction.
Right.
If you're going to do that. All right. Next trope, the two kinds of women roles. Sexy or victim.
Yep. And at least in this region.
At least in this region. I lumped these together.
Now, in Chicago, it was different.
In Chicago, it was different. In Southeast Louisiana, this seems to be a recurring thing.
Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and if you have a room full of sexy vampires, I've never walked into a room full of sexy vampires and succubus and
succubuses. I don't know.
Anyway, and seen a male character. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Bram Stoker's Dracula?
You know, that's a good point.
You're only playing to part of your audience with the women. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree with that. That's a good point. I didn't really thought of that, but it gets to a point where it's, I mean, like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with women in these roles. It's just that they get overused, and the worst part is that it sort of traps. I mean, we have enough trouble with getting female actors as it is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get any easier when we're telling women actors that they have to either be a sexy girl or a victim.
Right.
That they only have two roles open to them, realistically. Yeah. You know, let women scare, goddammit. And a lot of haunts are getting much better at this. I think the industry broadly is getting better at this. But there's still that mentality at a lot of haunts that we go to, and it's still something, at least half the haunts we go to have this issue. And I'll say this, one of the things we do when we visit haunts is we go through and count the number of women in scare roles.
Yeah.
Just sort of keep a running tally.
Yeah, and this started whenever we started the Women in Haunting series. Because we were talking to a friend of ours, and she told us her experience, and it wasn't a good one. I was very surprised that she was treated the way she was. So then we started, like, actively looking for it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's this deal of we have to make sure, A, this is a trope that's ripe to be messed with. You know what I mean? Maybe don't have, you know, have the woman be the murderer and the evil psycho killer or whatever, and have the big scary guy, the one in the cage. Flip the script, you know. Mm-hmm. That would be genuinely unsettling because that's flipping the trope around.
Yeah.
That would be unsettling, you know, on its own just because of how uncommon it is.
Right.
And that's one of the things about haunting is we're always setting up expectations and then defying them.
Right.
That's what a haunt basically is.
Yeah.
You expect to walk down this hallway and not have something jump at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, there's a drop panel. You know, that's how haunts work. So do that. Flip the script. Break the expectation a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, and I know that haunts exist that do this better. But, you know, a woman who maybe starts out pleading for help, but then as you walk into her room, she's got all of these victims around her.
Yeah.
She flips it.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Yeah. You can do a lot with that. You can use that expectation and the fact it is a trope to do something new and original and different. I think that's be a good way to handle it.
Yeah.
All right, next item up for bid. Claustrophobia and vertigo tunnels. Mm-hmm. I lump these two together because, for obvious reasons, they have very similar purposes. Mm-hmm. But basically the idea is if you've got a hallway with nothing to do in it, stick a claustrophobia tunnel or stick a vertigo tunnel in it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I always ask myself when I go through those. Would this haunt be better served with something else in that room? Something else in that space? And the answer is almost always yes.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen claustrophobia tunnels used well. We talked about 13th Gate and how previously, one year, they had four claustrophobia tunnels in the haunt. The first three you go through, you emerge on the other side, you're just in your regular darkness. But the fourth time, you just like emerge into this hellscape out of nowhere. It just drops you into it. And it's like, okay, that was mind-blowing.
Yeah, exactly. That's
a good example of setting up an expectation and defying it.
Right.
That works really well. But most haunts, it's just claustrophobia tunnel. You go through the other side, and that's it. And you have to be very careful because you can't scare too soon after the claustrophobia tunnel because that will cause a back. Because any scare there is going to be a scare backwards.
Right.
You got to watch that. You got to wait and let people get distance from it before you can scare them. You got to give them a, you know, get behind them somehow. But it's also, it's just not interesting.
No, it's not. And, you know, you can't have actors too close to it because people will push through and possibly hit your actor.
Or, in at least one case, accidentally grope your actor.
Right. So, I mean, why can't it just be a decorated hallway?
It could be a lot of different things. And the reason it's done is it makes people slow down, and it's very, and you don't want to have that long of a line of sight. And if you're building something that wasn't fully custom,
right,
you might be stuck with these hallways and odds and ends and bits and bobs that you can't do anything with. I get that. There's got to be something better you can do, though.
Yeah, and especially, you know, this year.
Yeah.
Because as Chris Gay mentioned, that's a lot of contact with surfaces for your customers to have.
Yeah, in a post-COVID world, which...
Yeah.
That's when haunts will be reopening, is whenever we're saying the words post-COVID world.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a bad look. People, we're already talking about removing any body bags, removing the plastic obstructions and things like that, because you can't really sanitize them very well. You can't keep them clean enough. And so, yeah, claustrophobia tunnel, same problem.
No, it's going to have, sorry, but it's going to have to die.
Yeah, it's going to have to.
It's going to be a casualty of this.
Yeah, I mean, vertigo tunnels to me are a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, I would prefer a vertigo tunnel to a claustrophobia tunnel, because at least that is an interesting effect, now that I actually understand the effect.
Right.
I went most of my life being unable to feel the vertigo tunnel effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is everyone like in there? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had LASIK and fixed one of my eyes, because I had one good eye and one bad eye.
Yeah.
Apparently, something about binocular vision caused me to actually feel it.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a dick, and when I was at Myrtle Beach, I would hang out in the Ripley's Museum they have, and they had a vertigo tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, like, traipse through it and bounce around until security guards were... Oh, man. That was fun. I want to keep messing with people. All right. And finally on this list, unavoidable hidden fees. I threw this one in. Well, you suggested it, and I threw it in mm-hmm. because, yeah, this is definitely borderline becoming a trope. I mean, it's certainly one of the most aggravating things.
Yes.
What cost does your customer have to pay for on top of the price of the ticket?
Right.
This includes parking.
Yeah.
Transaction costs. And if your haunt is cash only, it probably includes ATM fees.
Right.
This doesn't necessarily mean money that goes to you.
Mm-hmm.
This money that leaves your customer's hands, that it doesn't go straight to that ticket.
Yeah.
This is becoming a really crappy staple in the haunt industry.
It is.
It's really and truly everywhere. And I get it. It's a way to raise revenue without new cost. But it is, frankly, it's just a bad look. I mean, I would rather you increase the price of my ticket than... I would rather pay $35 for a ticket than $30 for a ticket plus $5 transaction cost.
Yeah.
Now, according to this research, I'm in the minority on that. Research has shown that people actually do prefer that. I don't understand it.
I prefer one ticket price, but I also like it whenever it says taxes and blah, blah, blah included.
Yeah.
You know, free shipping included, yeah, or shipping's included in the price.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Well, and that's the Amazon thing. People will pay, you know, $30 for a $25 thing if it means free shipping.
Yeah.
They'd rather... That's one of the reasons why Amazon was so successful, was they put the price so that they could bake shipping into the price of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that was they could offer, quote unquote, free shipping.
Right.
That's one of the geniuses of it. But apparently, according to studies, people actually do buy more and spend more if the transaction costs are tacked on after. And I don't understand that.
No.
I think that has not been my personal experience.
No, I just get aggravated.
I've walked away from going to haunts because of that.
Yeah, and I've walked away. Basically, if anything's coming to town and it uses Ticketmaster, I generally do not go to it.
Yeah, we try to avoid Ticketmaster and Live Nation and all
I've
that shit.
I've missed a lot of good things because I don't want to pay, you know,
well, like,
an extra percentage.
Well, like, I wrote a thing about it, and I haven't published it. But I wrote a thing about Ticketmaster and how if you wanted three tickets for a concert at the New Orleans Arena, I can't remember which concert, I think it was Michael Bublé or something, was what I used as the sample.
Mm-hmm.
Three tickets, you know, for you and your two friends, you would have to pay the cost of another ticket mm-hmm. in fees. So you're basically paying for four people to go, but only getting three.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Ticketmaster. Fuck you with a red hot poker. When I hear you're having trouble paying the refunds, I have no sympathy.
No.
I twist with glee at your misery, Ticketmaster. I twist with glee. But yeah, and once again, though, be thinking about this. And like I said, ATM fees are another one. If your haunt is cash only, people don't carry enough cash to buy haunt tickets. People are going to get hit with ATM fees, both from your ATM and their bank. That's got to be factored into the cost for them. And you will lose customers over that. So, yeah, I'm of the mindset, I'm like you, I want to pay my $30, taxes, fees, you know, undercoating, whatever else included, you know? It means I prefer that, and mostly because it makes it so much more predictable.
Right.
How much I'm spending. I can watch my money much more easily.
Yeah, and that's how I price things online, is that I include the price of shipping in the price of what I'm selling.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier for me.
Yep. Well, that is all the items we have on our list. So, revisiting the weekly question. The weekly question was, what is some incredibly common haunt slash Halloween thing you have never done? Now, I mentioned that I've never carved a pumpkin. Crystal mm-hmm. still can't believe that.
No.
And Crystal said she's never gone through a haunted house alone.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of our peeps saying? Did no one answer it?
Not yet. I put it in there a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Just to remind people.
All right.
So this might not work this week.
It might not work this week.
That's okay.
Fine. Lessons are learned. We're still...
Maybe everybody's done everything.
Yeah, maybe.
We're just schlubs.
We're just schlubs that have, weird gaps in our knowledge.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? It's entirely possible. I accept that, if that's the case, because I always have weird gaps in my knowledge, I find. But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I haven't done that's really weird. And
what about as a haunter?
Yeah.
As a haunt owner?
What's something I've never done?
Yeah.
I've never used a chainsaw.
You've never worked inside your own haunt.
I've never worked inside my own haunt. That's true. I'm always front of house.
Yeah. I've never worked outside.
So you've never worked queue line. There's a reason why we have our areas and of operation.
Ryan Ruger said he has not corpsed a skeleton yet.
Oh.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a good one, actually. Yeah, we've corpsed skeletons, but...
Or Ryan Greger says he hasn't bobbed for apples.
I've bobbed for apples, but I did not do it in the context of Halloween.
I did at a school fair.
Exactly. It was at a school fair type thing. And by the way, bobbing for apples in the post-COVID thing.
Yeah, that's...
I don't see that one.
That's not going to be at your autumn fall festival thing.
Maybe we just kind of put the bobbing for apples on hold for a little bit. Set that one on the shelf. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Those are some good, neat ideas there. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you all for giving us some suggestions.
Yeah, thank you. That was great. And, of course, now Ryan McGregor is, like, responsible for about 95% of this episode.
No. Okay. And if anybody has anything that they want to add to this, the comments will be open. We will still keep...
After the recording stops, we'll still be chatting for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's all we have this week. You want to just call it a day here? The perfect time. Almost exactly 50 minutes.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
We did well. So on that note, everyone, thank you for joining us and spending the past hour with us, whether you're watching us live, whether you're watching us on the video recorded, or whether you're listening to the audio podcast.
Yes.
Thank you very much for spending the time with us. We greatly appreciate it. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode 231, about overused haunt tropes. You can find more episodes at hauntweekly.com. All the episodes should be there for quick and easy access. And also, we have a neat search feature and a contact button. So feel free to get in touch with us there. You can also reach us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, and there on the Facebook page every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time. We will be doing this live via Facebook Live. Please feel free to come join us and participate in the live chat and have a say at the weekly question. We're going to keep trying that.
Yeah.
And
next week is episode 232.
Well, I didn't finish it. We got youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Easy for those of you that prefer the YouTubes. That's there. And, of course, you can find us at Google Play, iTunes, and Stitch. Wherever finer podcasts are sold, they let us in for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Yes.
But as you noted, next episode is 232, divisible by 4. That means we're doing
the news.
And there is a surprisingly large amount of news.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get through all of this.
I don't really know either, because... like the spill the tea, we have a Haunt Link chat between us just for sharing links, potential dimension on Haunt Weekly one way or the other.
Right.
The cup has runneth over these past 4 weeks.
Yeah. You're not going to be looking for new
I think
stories.
I'm not going to get much past that chat.
Yeah.
But we're doing the news. And so we will see you guys next week.